Good morning, traders. I'm running solo here today, and I've never put the show live, so please let me know if you can hear this, because I'm not a producer, but I am here. So hopefully you guys can hear me well. Let me know, chat, because I'm solo. AB will be in momentarily here. We've got a great show packed for you here. We've got CC Legator coming on here at 8:35, and we've got a lot to talk about with that overnight action. So no intro here because I don't know how to run the intro. So it's just me going live. Let's go right now into the action. It's going to be one 35-minute run-on sentence here until we get CC Legator here. So let's go. This is where they would do the intro, but I don't know how to do the intro. So we're just going to keep going here. So overnight action, absolutely crazy. I don't even know if I can show you charts. Let me see if I can show you anything here. We'll bring up the pro. Learning as we go here. So stand by. I'm going to bring up my pro screen. We're going to go present. And then we're going to go try to find share screen. Benzinga Pro. Share. All right. You should be seeing the Benzinga Pro here right now, folks. I'm going to just look over and make sure this is working. Going to bring up some charts for you on the Benzinga Pro. Chart, SPY, overnight action. I think we're working. Should be showing this. Waiting. It's still just my mugshot you're seeing. Share this tab to StreamYard. I don't know if that's working. It says it's sharing it, but it's not sharing it. Okay, we got backup here. We got backup. I got Christian Fromhertz. Christian, come on in. Come on in, Christian. Add me so you can show your stuff because I'm too stupid to run StreamYard on my own. We're going to bring in Christian Fromhertz here right now. Christian's saving the day. Come here, Christian, because I have no idea why I can't see my chart. So I'm going to stop sharing that. We're going to go grab Christian here right now. He's going to come in here in a few minutes here. So while we wait for Christian here, I'll just tell you about the overnight action. So apparently, it's the war that wasn't as bad as what the futures thought it was going to be, because the futures were trading down last night, folks, as much as 80 points. 8-0, not 8 points. 80 points. Obviously, concerns that Iran or Israel had taken action over in Iran and there was going to be World War III. Well, I guess it turns out that whatever Israel was doing was not that bad. Iran saying it wasn't that bad. And World War III is postponed because you had oil trading up. USO was up $3 last night. You had the futures down 80 points. You had gold ripping higher. You had so much stuff, so much crazy stuff going on. And, and I was out there trying to trade the action too. I was looking at, obviously the war stocks, NOC, LMT, General Dynamics. Those were trading up on IB after hours, assuming they were up on Robinhood too. I don't have a Robinhood account. And then you had oil trading down trading up a ridiculous amount. Chevron, Exxon, all the oil stocks trading up. All of that has been faded. So what we have is the ultimate fade trade. The ultimate fade trade. Because last night, futures down 80. If you just bought it blind, you made 80 points or 75 points because we're all the way back up there. If you just sold short oil, fading that move last night, USO, I saw it tick 82 a couple of times. Same thing. Same story. Coming right back here. I've got CC Legator. CC, are you there? You want to come in early? I'll bring you in right now, too. Is he saying? I'll see. CC.
How's it going?
Early here. Rails here. So not following any script. I don't have any charts. I'm just talking this overnight action here. I need somebody. Christian might be coming in here in a little bit, too. Maybe we'll bring in Christian after you. But CC Legator, were you watching the S&P futures last night?
I was. And it's funny. I sent you all notes about coming in this morning, what to talk about. It's expiration Friday.
I know.
We're right at 5,000 in SPX. The VIX is up near 20. And it was like, sort of a ripe setup for some sort of big reversal. Now, the fact that it happened in the middle of the night is an interesting one, because now it's almost like, all right, is this a trap now?
Yeah.
This morning. But yeah, you saw, you know, you have the things that are weighing on the market, obviously, and USO was like up at 82 last night.
Yeah.
The futures down, you know, over a point. And the VIX, basically the VIX futures were up above 20. Now that's the type of thing that if you saw today during the day, you would be like, all right, this is your at least near-term buy signal, right?
Yeah.
You get that spike in vol, you get, you know, sort of panic selling and everything. The fact that it happened overnight and we're sort of walking in with, you know, what are we going to be, an unchanged open practically at this point?
Yeah. Well, so if you want to compare to down 80, down 8 feels unchanged after last night. Exactly.
Yeah. So it was really interesting action, and it was going to be one of the things I was going to talk about this morning before that. I sent the notes before I, you know, that happened last night. And I was like, tomorrow seems ripe for a turnaround Friday type day, right? And it would have taken, you know, exactly what we saw last night. It would have been like one last puke down through 5,000 in SPX. And, you know, you get, sort of panic selling, a bunch of put buying, all that kind of stuff. And then you get a reversal higher. The fact that it happened overnight, now, you know, it might make today a little bit more complicated. And the fact that it's expiration Friday, you might see some weirdness. But yeah, it was a fascinating, fascinating thing. And then, you know, I think overall, like the take on it right now, not to get too like, not that I'm a geopolitics expert, but it was sort of that tit for tat. And maybe everybody's like, okay, we made our shows of force. You know what I mean? Like Iran did it. Israel responded. They get the last say. It wasn't a big attack.
Yeah.
You know, and
you hope that's maybe one and done.
Yeah. The fact that oil was, I mean, when I looked earlier, right before the show, oil was down. Right.
Yeah. Which is unbelievable. Like it's one thing to give most of the gain back, but turn around and go down.
Exactly.
I mean, I saw USO trading at 82 last night. It was trading on, like, I don't have Robinhood, but I have IB After Hours, which they all kind of track each other. And it was like 82 bit. We're 78.16. We just dropped $4 from where it was trading last night. So this market is now taking this completely in stride. And I think they agree with you here, CC, that, you know, this might just be, you know, they knew Israel wanted to respond. They responded in a light way. And we didn't know at the time, you know, when Twitter makes it all, you know, social media makes it seem like World War III is imminent here. You know, take cover, go to your bunker, get your supplies. Like I'm reading on Twitter last night, you don't know. And I'm sure that caused the futures to even sell off more, because we know liquidity is a lot less that night as well. So, you know, you get a few panic sellers, like a couple institutions come in and say, look, I got to get out of here. That's going to go down a long ways.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the one thing that, you know, sort of interesting to me. And I don't have much experience. I mean, have you done that sort of overnight futures trading professionally before?
I trade overnight, but I don't usually trade futures. I used to trade futures years ago, but I've just moved on to SPY because I feel like SPY is actually a more efficient vehicle, and actually you can trade it overnight as tracking the futures too. So I just trade SPY now.
And that's one of the things is like, I was sort of, you know, after watching all that play out last night, and I don't have a ton of experience, you know, I was an options trader. I traded from 9:30 to 4:15. You know what I mean? And then after hours trading, you're basically doing hedging with the underlines, you know, you're sort of like cleaning up your positions, but you can no longer trade the options. Now that's sort of changed with the 24-hour markets, and it's even got 24-hour options trading on SPX now. And it's sort of an interesting thing, because what you want to see, sort of what I was talking about, if you want to see that flush, you want to see that sort of contrarian signal that the market is at least a temporary buy, right? You know, last night we were down about 6% from the highs, right? If you're just using the futures, or maybe even more actually.
Yeah.
And you're looking for that little near-term signal of like, are we going to get a little V reversal? You'd love that to take place at 9:45, you know, right after the open. Or, you know, like something in the last hour of the trading day where you get that volume flush, you get a bunch of people that get suddenly caught off sides, short start chasing, all that kind of stuff. The fact that it's overnight and so thin, I don't know if it changes things, but that was definitely what, you know, it certainly felt like that. You know, and I think the worst thing actually could have happened for the market is we were, you know, if we were talking and the market was green right now, right? you want to see that flush for the turnaround.
Well, and there is a question for you too. And I see Christian Frommer hits in the background. I'm going to bring him into this conversation. The three of us will go here in a second, but I'm just going to ask you one more question before I bring Christian here, CC, is does this, like, you know, to your point, you know, does this count? Like, we know we were talking about, like I don't, like, it was such a big, it feels like, and I completely agree with everything you were saying. It feels like the capitulatory move happened overnight. But because it wouldn't have been with volume, it wouldn't have been with the majority of players.
Yeah.
Do we have to, like, now do it again? Do we have to, like, get to go down and retest those lows?
Right. If a tree falls in the forest type thing, right?
That's a great analogy, actually.
There were, like, 10 of us watching it, right?
Yeah. There were, like, 10 of us watching. I was out there trying to trade it. I was trying to buy, like, Lockheed. And I did, actually. I went out and bought some NOC, some General Dynamics, Lockheed Martin. I was, like, trying to, like, because I was like, I don't know what's going to happen here, but this does not sound good. Christian, I'm going to bring you in here right now, too. You know CC, you know Christian. We're bringing Christian in here right now, too. So the three of us can carry this conversation. Christian, this, your thoughts on the overnight action here, too, because it was crazy last night.
Yeah, I mean, exactly right. I mean, good morning, guys. Some of the things that I normally watch when we've got some type of war type escalation is, you know, especially when it's in the Middle East, watching what crude is doing, watching what bonds are doing because they're a flight to safety. And you could even watch VIX futures too. And one of the things that I was noticing too, and, you know, obviously, you know, you think about being a trader, but you also just think about being, you know, a regular person, and nobody wants to see war and so forth. So, you know, you're watching some of these things, and I started to kind of look at crude, and I said, okay, well, crude didn't really get back to where we were earlier in the week. So it obviously went up like 2 or 3%, but it didn't take out this week's highs. So it kind of felt like a little bit of a relief, because if these things are not, like, blasting off, you know, there's a knee-jerk reaction. Mm-hmm. And the brunt of it was, like, equities were actually taking the biggest move. But if you look at crude and if you looked at what the VIX was doing and bonds, they weren't extreme moves. They were definitely moved. But I was like, okay, you know, that's interesting. Crude is not taking out this week's highs. The bonds are up a little bit. As a flight to safety. And, you know, a couple other things. I was like, okay, I hope that what I'm seeing is correct. But for the first initial reaction, I was like, things were not that bad.
It felt bad at the time, but obviously the market, and I cannot believe here, we'll bring it back to UCC in a second here. I cannot believe here the futures are actually trying to go green here. So now we set up, and we have our options specialist here, CC Legator, on the show here. We set up all this on options expiration, you know. So you've got institutions coming in, jockeying, they're open, you know, options positions against the stocks. What do you think the setup is here? Just talk today, like day trading here. Is it a big question mark because it was such a wide range overnight? Does this add to the volatility here that we're going to see here at the open? I mean, unbelievable, you know, the futures. And, you know, we got stocks like Netflix that, you know, disappointed, it's trading down 37 points. So it's even more impressive that the S&P is actually flat here right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was looking for, and I was tweeting about this earlier in the week, some, you know, there's a very close historical analogy. The sell-off we had last August, you know, which was also really rates driven. It was a three-stage sell-off that ended up as basically a 10, 11% correction, right? The first wave of it looks almost identical to the setup that we're in right now. The first wave of it, and I don't know, can we pull up charts yet?
Aaron Thomas, can you grab the background here and pull up some Benzinga or you can bring up, do you have charts, CC? Can you show us your screen?
Yeah, I can do it. Hold on one second.
Yeah, hit present. I was too stupid to figure it out, so, because I never present anything.
Oh, there's mine.
CC Legator's all over this.
All right, so going back to that, you know, that first wave, it was a three-wave sell-off, right? You can see it from that peak.
Yeah.
That you know, it started at the beginning of August. It lasted a couple of weeks, that first wave, right? And it had that first bottom was on expiration Friday of August. You had a VIX basically spike up to about 18, right? We are at 19 right now. And you had that sort of first capitulation. you saw buyers with like that 50% retracement higher after that first 5% move. You know, at the time, TLT is crashing, right? And TLT actually found some buyers there. It's, you know, it sort of stabilized. People are like, oh, maybe it's safe to go back in. And then, it, you know, you had that like kind of 50% retracement attempt up there. Then it started all over again. Then you went down 6%. Then that 50% retracement attempt. Then it went down another 5%. It finally bottomed when TLT bottomed, basically. You know, and using TLT as a proxy for the entire bond
sure.
market, whatever, right?
Yep.
So now, and remember at the time, the worries were recession, right? You don't hear many people mention that word right now, right? We're sort of selling off that, you know, the assumption back then was rates are going to kill the economy. We're going to go into a recession, right? And that's why everybody was sort of getting ahead and selling stocks right now. Right now, it's that the Fed's not going to lower, right? Anytime soon.
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit of a different setup, but the core components of what you can be watching as a trader are quite obvious. If you wake up in the morning and you were looking at TLT green, if you were looking at USO red, and you're looking at the futures down, like that's probably a pretty good, and you're looking at the VIX at 20, right? That's a pretty good setup that you're near at least a short-term reversal. Right. If you see the opposite, if you see what we've seen several days in the last like week and a half, I've woken up in the morning, you see futures higher. You look at oil, it's like unchanged or higher. You look at, you know, you look at the bond yields, they're, you know, they're spiking, TLT's down, you know, whatever proxy component you want to look used yeah. for that market. And you're like, the futures are, I mean, the market's going to get sold as soon as it opens. Right.
Yeah.
This is stupid. Like, this makes no sense. Yeah. So the setup going into this morning was that kind of that opposite thing until that USO spike last night, or until the oil spike last night. But, you know, it's red. And to Christian's point, it's like it went up for like a second back towards those highs, and it immediately started coming in, right? So it was almost as if we were poised, and even the oil market was poised. They knew, you know, they were anticipating Israel wasn't going to just let it go. Right? Wasn't going to let Iran's attack last week go.
Yeah.
And it was almost like it was getting ahead of itself. And all we needed was that kind of capitulation. Now, of course, if we go into the open with the futures higher, that makes things a little more complicated. Expiration makes the things a little bit more complicated. But I will say, when you go on that SPX chart and you look back at August, that first bottom was expiration Friday in August.
Christian, do you want to chime in here on too? Just sum up before we start going into some specific stocks.
So I think what was kind of interesting too yesterday, and like the last 2 days, you know, we were dealing with a lot of like chop in the market. And, you know, we had this, I think that there was this overhang because you started to hear these headlines and like the chirping back and forth between the two sides about Israel wasn't like this thing wasn't going to be done. We started, I think it was yesterday, there was a headline about, you know, like whether or not Israel was going to attack Iran's like nuclear facilities. So there was this overhang in the market yesterday. And, you know, if you look at like, you know, sometimes there's something going on and you don't really know what's going on. But I thought yesterday, like the price action to me was constructive that we started to kind of do the usual fade at, you know, not right on the open yesterday.
Yeah.
Because futures were up like just like 20 basis points. It wasn't like a gap up yesterday, but the market just right now likes to hit any green. And it was like, okay, you know, here we go again. And things kind of stabilized a little bit yesterday and we had a nice little recovery. So it kind of felt like, hey, here comes, like, I think a lot of people have been waiting for a little bit of a tradable bounce. And we got that till about like just a really odd time, till about like 11:45, 11:50. And then you could see the market started to reverse. So perhaps like the cat was let out of the bag someplace where somebody was, you know, heard or had a feeling that there was going to be some type of retaliation by Israel, you know, around this time frame, because it was a pretty decent reversal that happened at a weird point of time. So sometimes you don't have all the information, you know, at your fingertips. Like, you know, obviously, like once the actual news story comes out, but it felt like something odd was going on right around that 12 o'clock. I don't know if you guys felt that too, with how you were looking at the market yesterday.
And also, Christian, I add that the after hours felt weird before the news hit, right? Like, and part of that could have just been it was a very volatile day and it was a very volatile close. But the, you know, and then you had Netflix actually on top of that,
yeah,
you know, and I think right. there was some weirdness right after the bell, but like the whole after hours session felt very strange yesterday. And it was almost like I'd be interested, all those accounts that follow insider trading and all, I'd be curious to see if there was anything going on there and like anybody had a heads up on this. So,
well, and we did start selling off, you know, right at the end of the after hours session pretty hard. And those headlines really didn't hit till after, but they were like, we were weak the entire session. Like it felt like somebody knew, you know, within the last hour that something was going to happen here because we started rolling over. And then obviously we get the headlines and then we just, you know, capitulated last night on those headlines. I mean, I guess we're at a point here now though, where, you know, where the Israel did their response. You knew they had to respond. They said they were going to respond. Was it light enough to, for Iran to just say, okay, it's over? Or does Iran respond again? I think the market's, you know, gambling here because the futures are green here right now that, you know, Iran might just say, okay, it's fine and it's done. And I mean, this World War III that was supposed to happen on Twitter, that everybody told us on Twitter last night at 11 o'clock, the futures are saying no World War III. We're okay here. So what do you like? And then we're going to the Netflix report.
I think they're reading those quotes coming out of the Iranian regime, which was... It was already odd, even before their attack on Israel, where they telegraphed it for a week, right? They told everybody. They kind of warned, or not warned, but they kind of, you know, what was coming out of the U.S. State Department was essentially like, everybody calm down, you know, it's not going to be a big deal and everything. Then after the attack last night, they were basically out like that meme, like, please disperse, there's nothing to see here, you know? They were like, we didn't even get attacked. Right.
Yeah.
So all of their body language is that they just want this to be over. They know they can't strike Israel. They know Israel can strike them at any time, at any moment. Right. And they don't want to, it seems like they don't want to escalate this.
Yeah. They don't want World War III. It doesn't sound
exactly.
Right. And that's why the market, and that is why you're seeing all of a sudden, you know, the oil trading down here today. You know, we've, you know, Twitter again, you know, social media. It responds so quickly, and the market's responding so quickly to what we're seeing in social media, and all we hear is there's attacks going on here, and then you know, got everybody just, you know, exaggerating, and maybe not even exaggerating, but just, you know, getting out there spitting out facts that we don't even know are true yet. And that's the problem with social media, is that it's just information, you know, whether it's real information or disinformation or we don't even know, but there's just so much information coming that by the time, you know, we get to the morning here, we're like, okay, well, now we can kind of understand what happened last night. But at the time, they were just selling first and asking questions later.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't, you know, I've been on Twitter forever, you know, since it started. Yeah. And it used to be my go-to source in a moment like that, is I'd get on it. You know, I would not be going to Google to check out the slow rolling in news stories or whatever. Man, I mean, I hate to be like a basher or whatever, but it is a nightmare during a moment like that now. It's all just nonsense. It's all bots. It's all people chasing clout. Yeah. And it's really hard to get a sense of what's actually going on, to the point where I'm now going back into Google and looking for like legit, you know, news articles, right? Which is strange. That used to happen on Twitter, and it's kind of, you know, pour one out for Twitter on moments like that. But yeah, it's weird. There was so much disinformation, and it's like immediate. It's like it's all just propaganda, immediate. Everybody's got, you know, chasing those clicks.
Let's cover a few specific stocks here. Netflix obviously reported here last night. I'm assuming, you know, both of you obviously were watching the reports. Netflix, I'll give you those numbers here right now, just bringing up the pro here, because it wasn't showing my charts here, and I figured out why, because my pro is just operating slow here this morning. So I'm trying to get the pro here. Actually, Aaron Thomas, if you can come in the background here and just show the charts. Or do you have them up, CC? Do you have Netflix up?
Yeah, I can in a second.
I'm not sure why my pro is not working here. My pro is not working.
What I thought was interesting with Netflix was, I believe they're not... I can bring up the numbers too, but... I believe that they're not providing their guidance on their subscriber numbers anymore. I think that's kind of interesting as well, which so a little bit less transparency that we're going to get from them.
Did it get weaker this morning? Because last night it was only down about...
It did.
Okay. So last night it was down about 3%, 4% maybe. The expected move in the options market was about 8%, right? And we are down 7.38.
We're approaching it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we're inside of it. So it's a big move, but it is less. And obviously, like, if you look at the last couple of Netflix moves, I mean, they moved 20% last time, I think. And so, you know, this is a big move, but it's not even what options were pricing. It's still inside of that. So that'll be an interesting one to watch on the open. Like, does that find buyers, or does that just sort of puke through? And sort of a shorthand that you can use if you're to the severity of the sell-off. If you're watching Netflix this morning and you see it down more than 8%, that is beyond what traders thought. And that's where things start to get ugly, if that makes sense.
Yeah, we talked about this.
See it down 6%, 5%, it's not a big deal yet. You know, nobody's panicking yet. So...
Yeah, I think about this 5-6. Sorry, Christian. Go ahead, Christian.
Yeah, it was just the implied move was pretty spot on. Because I think that's where we are. I think it was the implied move was like around like 8%, just as you
8%,
said.
8%. Yeah. So we're inside of that. So it's not, you know, it's down. It looks, you know, it's a big number that it's down, but it's not a panic sell by any means.
And I think we're moving right down into here. Like, so here's my charts, and you know, this is a big area of volume. And it's kind of funny because this is how I played it yesterday. I had I put on a put fly, basically looking for this move. And what do I have on for this?
Yeah, but yeah. Tell me where the center is.
I thought I kind of just used, and it's a really good point that CC brings up about, you know, understanding what the implied move is, and you can structure an option trade around that. Depending on how much risk you want to take, you could either do I trade spreads a lot, so I'll either do like a call spread or a put spread. In this case, like I looked at there was a big skew to the put side, like the puts were much more expensive, so I looked at doing like a $10 wide put spread to kind of look for a move down in this area, but it was too expensive. So what I did instead, like, so you got just another tool in the toolbox, is you could do what's known as a put fly. And I did the 560, 575, 80 put spread. So I should be in good shape for that. And I did that, I think, for about 70 cents. So this way, you know, I tried
to. What was your center on it?
570.
Oh my God, you nailed it. So can I Can I just explain what you just explained for a second?
Go for it, please.
Yeah, and you don't hear this much. And, you know, it's doing like an out-of-the-money butterfly. I love it. And so what Christian did is he was looking at being bearish. He was looking at targeting down near the expected move. You can do that in a number of ways. You can buy puts, right? But going into an earnings, puts are going to be super inflated. And all options are going to be super inflated. Even if you were right, you might be wrong, right? Netflix could go down. You bought really expensive puts. The puts compress after earnings. You know, you were right, but wrong. You had the wrong options on. So then you can go, all right, well, let me buy a put spread. Let me buy a put near to where Netflix closed yesterday. And let me sell a put down lower, right? Christian took it one step further where he bought one put, sold two puts, and then bought another put below. And basically, he's calling his shot. And he's saying where the two short puts are is where he thinks the stock is going to go. And that's his max gain level. If it goes further through that, he starts to lose profits. And then eventually, if it had gone down 15%, he would have actually lost money on his bearish trade. But his setup right now with where Netflix is trading pre-market, if it just stayed here the rest of the day, you would have paid next to nothing to make a lot of money, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a really cool trade what he did.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I mean, it's a nice way to use that defined move that you can, you know, figure out with what the options market makers are implying. And to basically take a shot. And what's nice about it is you're not putting up a ton of capital. So you can kind of think about, participating in a directional play. And if you get it wrong, you're not going to be penalized as much, of course, as you know, buying outright options or even a spread, which was just too expensive in this particular case, I thought.
Now, would your strategy, this is, I don't know, I think this is understandable by the audience. Like, so would your strategy be to take it off immediately or would you wait for it?
So I have, if I can get, you know, a good profit on it right around the open, I'll take some of the trade off. Absolutely.
You're going to have a big one. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's nice because we only have to today for expiration. If it was earlier in the week, then you'd really kind of have to, then I would
probably wait.
Yeah. So I will try on the last piece of the trade to ultimately try to get that really large target considering where the stock is sitting. But
yeah,
you know, but you could also hedge yourself a little bit too. If you think that buyers are going to come in, you could buy a little bit of stock here and kind of protect yourself. Of course, the danger is that it continues to sell off.
Right.
But,
right.
You know,
the other place that I like to, you know, do that strategy is one is like exactly how you did it going into earnings, because you're going to get that vol crush. You don't have to wait around all week, you know, waiting for those puts to decay. The other one is when you have a really weird situation, like the Trump stock, right, was hard to borrow. And, you know, it was great. Everybody was, you know, I had every friend in the world calling me up, how do I short that thing? And I'm like, oh, it's tough, you know. And it's like, but a butterfly where you're kind of going, you know, from at the money or just out of the money to like almost halfway down to zero. And then using like, you know, and you can almost do a 1x2 as well and using zero as your last strike. But anyway, you're targeting a huge range to the downside. And by doing it as a butterfly rather than a put or a put spread, you can do very little risk for that huge zone of profitability. So that's the other time I use that same strategy.
Yeah. And what's nice, what's nice too is, you know, just pricing these things out as you're going through. Like sometimes as I go through and I kind of think about which way I want to play it, I will go through the exercise of like, okay, how much do the puts, you know, how much do the options cost straight up? How much does the spread cost? How much, you know, because flies are tough because you do have to be very precise in not only picking the direction, but picking like the magnitude of the move too.
You're calling your shot.
Yeah.
And exactly. You called it perfectly. So Dennis, now that we've bored you with all this nerdy stuff.
No, this is fantastic. And I mean, the chat is loving this too. What a great day to have two options experts here on options expiration here. So, you know, it's a perfect setup here actually to have both of you guys on. I'm glad Christian was able to join us as well. I just want to say we are rallying here significantly. So we did have a flip in the imbalance information here this morning. So at 8 a.m., New York Stock Exchange starts publishing their opening imbalances here. And on options expiration days, they can be very large. Right now, we're seeing buy imbalances across the board. So with those large buy imbalances, futures traders are like, oh, this is going to continue here. So it's not only that we had this overnight flush and we caught a lot of maybe some traders, you know, thinking World War III was going to start. Now we're reversing hard here and there's buy imbalances in the banks, especially the banks.
What sector? Banks?
Yeah, I'm seeing really heavy buy imbalance, but across the board, all S&P stocks are getting bid. Like I'm just looking, you know, 240,000 to buy Bank America, 129,000 to buy JP Morgan. Full disclosure, I have a trading position on JP Morgan. Wells Fargo, 140,000 to buy. Then just looking, Merck, you know, 92,000 to buy. Pfizer, 110,000 to buy. It's just across the board. So now again, we are early and these balances can flip, you know, on options expiration. Sometimes you see them all go by and then the last second they flip them all to sell, you know, as institutions come in, change their mind, or maybe other ones say you got them. But right now, like just if we were to open, we probably open significantly higher if these buy imbalances do hold up. So that's, I believe, a main reason why you've really seen us start to tick up here in the last 20 minutes, because there's a lot of buy imbalances on the board right now.
Did you see this chart, by the way, of Wells Fargo yesterday?
Wild new highs here too.
So it had a little bit of like, it was really kind of the price action got really tight consolidated, and you know, when it had earnings, it was kind of a muted move and it looked like it was going to start to break down like a lot of stocks were doing. But look at the resiliency, and yesterday this thing popped to a new high for the year.
Crazy. So, eh?
Yeah. And you started to see finally, like, you know, I think 3 days went by. Sometimes it's the 3 day rule. You know, at JP Morgan looked like there were some buyers that, were coming in. So I'm watching this JP Morgan like 183.50 level to kind of see, because ultimately, like, it seems like sometimes Mr. Diamond likes to kind of dial things down on a report, but you know, it's kind of sitting here. Yeah.
The other weird thing about Wells Fargo, talk about like a contrarian signal, is of all those, I mean, who's mixed up more in the mortgage business than them, right? So talk about like a move, you know, contrary to headlines and all right now. So that's a very interesting one. I hadn't looked at what it had done since earnings. That's really fascinating.
Well, we've had a separation, you know, where JP Morgan always best of breed down $20 from its highs there. And its earnings were fine. Like, I didn't think the JP Morgan report was even that bad, but, you know, it just went out of favor. And then Wells has been the opposite here. Maybe it's a catch-up trade. You know, maybe, you know, JP Morgan's always kind of, you know, trade with a little more Jamie Dimon premium in it here. But you're seeing separation here. Even Goldman and Morgan, they both held up well after their earnings report. But they had JP Morgan, Citigroup, and Bank America not holding up as well. Bank America catching an upgrade here today too. So that's helping lift that stock. But just this market, it is a little bit choppy, I would say. And it is definitely a stock picker's market because, like, to your point, you know, we feel like we've had a pretty significant sell-off here in the last week or two, but Wells Fargo having none of it and going up, and there is pockets of strength here to find. You know, does the strength continue in a stock like Wells? Like, are we in, like, I keep thinking we're, you know, in this fade market. I've been talking about the fade trade, and it's like I see stocks going up and I just automatically short them. I see them going down and I'm buying them, and I'm just been playing it that way. And I mean, last night it worked perfectly, but I mean, at a certain point in time, you know, when you see a strength like Wells Fargo happening here and breaking out, I mean, you know, maybe we did put in a short-term bottom last night.
Yeah, and going back to that August, you know, last year analogy, it's like it's a pretty severe when you come back and you make that first bounce, it's a pretty severe bounce in like 50. You know, you can do the math what a 2.5 or 3% rally from here would feel like, right? And then, you know, you're out of the woods, basically, if yields stop going higher. That's probably the bottom line right now. If yields don't and they continue, then people are going to fade that, you know, if we do get that bounce today or tomorrow or Tuesday or something, people are going to fade that unless, you know, yields stop going higher is the bottom line, right? If we actually are getting through the Iran, if oil did just top, right? You're removing some of those, you know, things that have been affecting the market. And then you need TLT to stop going down, basically.
Yeah, you do. And maybe, you know, something like this turns it around. At least, you know, if temporarily we're up here. And we were up significantly last night. The TLT was ticking over 90 because it's that flight to safety trade that all of a sudden comes in and starts going. That future is starting to just tick down here. All those buy and balance, just flip the sell and balance. It's amazing on this day. That, you know, they're showing all that. So one institution must have just came and said, are you nuts? We'll sell all these things to you and just offset them all. Or that institution that put all those buy imbalances just canceled their orders. So that's why we just
took down. By the way,
chase these imbalances on this day.
Yep. TLT is up almost 1% pre-market.
Yeah. Right. And again, it was up more last night. But I think a little bit of that flight to safety trade, like, you can see separation. We've seen this TLT just leading the stock market to a certain extent here. But if we get into like war times and that, you could see the TLT rallying, which we were seeing last night, the S&P sell off substantially here.
Right.
I think the market is, and again, just taking it back to, you know, because it's the major headline right now, the Iran-Israel situation. I feel like, you know, just my spidey sense is talking here that this might be like, you know, done. Like, maybe this is done. Like, Iran, like, isn't going to respond here again. Like, they were saying their response was going to be, you know, harsh and immediate, you know, if Israel was to attack. But with the talk last night, it feels like they didn't really feel like they were attacked. Not as hard as, you know, to warrant a severe response.
It takes that overhang away from the, you know, the market was kind of hanging on something next was going to happen. So if it's not as bad as what everybody was, believing, then it does remove a little bit of that overhang.
So let's just take this last 18 minutes, and I want to take it even to the chat if you do. I've got some cash. You know, I've been raising some cash over the course of the last few weeks just because I thought we were a little bit overdone. If we did put in a short-term bottom last night, which stocks do you guys like? Christian, I'll go to you first. You know, is there a couple stocks that you've been eyeing? Because we've had a significant pullback in some major names here. Thoughts here, you know, like if, and it's a big if, but is there anything you're eyeing right now to maybe, you know, pick up this morning?
Yeah, I mean, the industrials have been really strong and they're pulling back. And, you know, so one name that I actually tried a little bit and I just thought maybe I was a little bit too early with it, like a stock like Caterpillar, for instance. Now, it's what's kind of difficult right now with thinking about like what names you want to add here is you do have to kind of keep your eye on like when, now that we've kind of kicked off earnings season officially, like, you know, when are these companies going to be reporting earnings? Because it might be worth like waiting a little bit or maybe just scaling in. But, you know, like Caterpillar is going to be reporting earnings. But yeah, I mean, I really like what the industrials have been doing. And, you know, all these groups were due for a pullback. You know, let's be honest, the move that we've seen over the last couple months has been tremendous. So I like to, when I'm going through charts and looking at like quality names, like an Eaton Corporation is another industrial name that I like. But, sure, you know, what you want to see is you want to see kind of shallow pullbacks. Anything that really starts to break down tells me like this move that we've seen over the last couple months was just was a little bit too hot and too much momentum, right? You want to see these neat little pullbacks where it's pretty methodical, because you don't want to really see that huge selling that we've been seeing. And, you know, I do like have a list of like higher quality names. Like I like the report yesterday from D.R. Horton. I thought it was a good report, and I did add a little bit of Builders FirstSource, and I hung on to that one because I think like this is a quality name, and I do think that this, from what D.R. Horton was saying yesterday, you know, even though there's going to be a couple weak housing reports like we got earlier in the week, it seems like there's still a supply issue and they're still going to be building and renovating and doing that type of trade. Another stock that I'm watching, and then I'll turn it over to you guys, but I'm interested to see what AXP does today too, because, you know, this very much, you know, more, I think, higher net worth individuals, you know, have an Amex card. And if they're still traveling and if they're still spending, then you can kind of think about like, okay, you know, maybe like a Visa might start to kind of turn around too. And just the higher net worth individual might just continue to be spending. So like Visa is another one that I think this dip could be a viable dip, provided that the market settles in a little bit.
We did get American Express earnings here. So just while you mentioned it, I might as well just bring it up here. AXP did report earlier this morning, and it has been choppy. It popped on the initial and then sold off. I'm just grabbing the earnings for you right now. They did beat. It was 333. The estimates were 295. So they beat on the top, and they beat on the bottom actually too, because 15.8 was on the top and 15.78 billion. So it's a beat and a beat. They see revenue growth 9 to 11%. They see EPS. They raise guidance here, 1265 to 1315. This is an interesting market here because you got a beat, and a raise here. And American Express initially popped up. I saw as high as 221, and then it gave it all back and went down to 213. And now we're just kind of hanging out here in the middle here. So it's actually a pretty decent report here, but we've seen this market sell off on decent reports before. So it's like, you know, you can have the report. Sometimes I joke, you know, sometimes you get into these markets where you could be an insider, have the report and say, oh, it's like a beat. I'm going to buy a lot of options to make a lot of money. And then the stock goes down on the beat raise. And you're like, what just happened? But American Express, you know, not trading higher on that. So that's just that number.
This is an interesting point, actually, Dennis, as we get into more of this earnings. And next week is like, you know, jam. You've got like Tesla, you've got Meta, you've got, Alphabet, et cetera. Yeah. And so I wonder, like that is kind of fascinating. I'm looking at the American Express chart. I think the expected move, I had about 4.5%, let's say, right? And so it opened up a couple of, or it had moved that. It's basically unchanged right now, right? I wonder if people are a little nervous about getting off sides, you know, pre-market, right? So if you're you know, if you're trading that thing and you're buying it up 4 points or whatever, and you have no idea how this market's going to open, I wonder if there's like, you know, that kind of uncertainty in the backdrop of, do I over it, how, you know, you, everybody's worried about getting caught offsides every day in the market right now. Imagine getting caught offsides 5% on an earnings and then,
yeah,
watching it, you know, like watching the market tank on the open and it goes red. Like, you know, I bet you a lot of that is nervousness of not wanting to overreact, you know, before the market opens.
Yeah. And that may be the case here too. And sometimes, yeah, you see the pre-market move happen and then the opposite just happens once the regular session starts. And yeah, the one thing to consider in the pre-market is volumes are always lighter, especially on a stock like American Express. I mean, it's only trade 110,000 shares. It's going to trade millions of shares today. Yeah. All it takes is one or two institutions to say, no, you know what? I don't like this report, or I do like this report, and it can, yeah, change the entire narrative here. So we always, you know, yeah, when we look at pre-market trading, and we started, me and Joel, pre-market prep 10 years ago because we thought the pre-market, you know, action often, you know, it was an indicator for where the regular action might go. In some cases, it just completely reverses. So right now, I think you're still in price discovery mode. I don't think there's been any big votes from any institution saying, yeah, we like it, or yeah, we don't. I mean, face value of this report looks pretty good, but you know, devil's in the details. Conference call probably to come, and they, yeah, say other things. So,
right.
Yeah.
And just the fact,
oh, sorry, you go, Kristen.
Yeah. Just the fact too, that you know, you look at an AXP and a lot of these companies since the last earnings report have just been on this, these huge runs. And I think that's kind of the case with Netflix too. Netflix is, because I thought the numbers were pretty good with Netflix, but it's just the issue that Netflix has run so much since the last report that my, yeah, comments yesterday were, was like, they're going to have to come out with like an amazing report just because of the, you know, so it's always like, to me, it's always important to realize like where the stock has gone over the last, you know, over the last quarter. And I think that's what you're going to find is some of these reports that are going to, for next week, it's going to be tough because when you look at a, when you look at a Google and you look at some of the other reports too, you know, these names have been on a, on a, on a pretty decent run. So they're going to have to come out with some really impressive results, you know, or you might kind of see some things like Netflix just went through, but it's probably, the last thing I'll say is about this is it's probably good for Netflix, being that it's kind of like the, one of the bigger names to report, it's probably better for them to kind of go down a little bit rather than like go up big because it sets the bar like too high for the, for some of the ones that are going to report next week.
Yeah. And yeah, it's funny with the setup going into earnings. You know, I'm looking at Meta, you know, which is one of the first ones up. I think Tesla goes first next week, then Meta.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of Tesla stock anymore. But with Meta, you look at the expected move right now, and you know, it had that gap higher last earnings, really big gap higher last earnings. The expected move to the downside is basically right where it had gapped up to. And the expected move to the upside would be a new high, but barely a new high, right? So the options market is sort of doing exactly what you were talking about, Christian, which is it's looking forward and it's saying, you know, what are the levels in the downside? What are the levels in the upside? This is probably about the range of this move. And that's how options are pricing Meta, is basically you could look on a chart and you can see that gap higher. Options are pricing right back down to that. So if Meta misses, it's going to go test that level, is what options traders are saying.
CC, what's the percentage of trades that you do for earnings that are selling premium versus actually like, you know, going the other way and
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Okay.
There's no buying premium over, yeah, here from CC,
so
Alligator.
So I'm a
not an option buyer,
market maker, right? And you know, everybody's a little bit different in that job and everything. But I'm always like, you know, I'd rather be on the side. There's nothing more work than trying to trade around long premium, right? It's so, yeah, exhausting, right? And I think I just kind of have that personality where I can sit there and watch the chaos unfold and be like, you know, I have a high probability trade on here. Right. I'm going to get burned sometimes,
yes,
but over time, I'm going to be more right than wrong. Right. So that's sort of my philosophy, especially earnings. In a scenario like this, like right with the market, you know, like what we were talking about earlier, it's down 6%. We've seen this story before. I don't know, like if it's going to bounce today or Monday, or and it could keep going down 10%. You could be wrong, but you have a very high probability chance that it happens soon, and you get to sell 20 VIX to do that, right? You can sell a credit put spread. And to Dennis's question earlier, about like what you would buy, not really, I don't know about like, you know, an individual name, but you know, I'd be looking at the Qs, you know, for a reversal. Like if you're trying to time this thing, you know, the Qs are probably full of the most stocks that could care less about like most of the news stories, right? Sure. And, you know, you got to, you know, IWM is so dependent on what rates and yields are doing. You know, and IWM is filled with the regional banks, right? You know, SPY and SPX, obviously it's complicated. You've got all the big banks, you know, there's a lot of stories going on there, but the Qs, you know, it's like, boom, right? Like you, if you get that reversal, you probably get Qs up 3% real quick, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so just to sum up, obviously I'm going to let you guys go here in a few minutes here. We only got 7 minutes left. You know, futures bouncing around here. Once again, I just want to say the imbalances are still selling balances. And it's funny how the futures on this morning just follow those stock imbalances there. Sometimes futures lead, sometimes stocks lead. On this day, almost always stocks lead because these options expiration days are wild and futures are looking for information from the stocks to figure out where to go here. You know, last night, obviously, if you're just tuning in here late, we had the capitulatory selling on the worries that Iran and Israel situation had escalated and Israel was attacking Iran and we're going to have World War III. That has not materialized here overnight. And almost all of those, you know, moves last night were faded. Like just for instance here, NVIDIA last night, and I was watching on IBKR overnight action, was trading down at $813. That's where it was trading. It was down 33 points last night on this. You know, you look at something like that and you think, like to your point that you just made, CC, like NVIDIA doesn't really care maybe about a lot of this stuff. So, you know, it's funny how the market, when they come and they just sell everything. But, you know, even, you know, if we were going to World War III, was that really as bad for NVIDIA as it is for other stocks, you know, for NVIDIA to be down as much as it was last night? So let's take
Somebody's got to make the chips for the AI drones that will kill us all eventually.
Yeah, there you go. So CC, we're going to let you go here. I want to just thank you, obviously, again, for coming on here. 55 minutes. CC Legator was fantastic here today. Great day for this. And Christian, I am going to let you go here as well. And Christian comes in, obviously, just chatting with me and saying you want me to pop in here and give some thoughts. And I think the show was excellent here today. You guys did a great job. Thanks for coming in.
Excellent. Thanks, Dennis.
Thanks so much. Yeah, thanks, guys.
We'll see you guys. I'm going to bring in Aaron Bree here in the background here. Aaron was tied up this morning, but he is here now. So we'll add Aaron Bree back into the stage here. And Aaron, how's it going?
What's up, Dennis? How you doing? Sorry about that this morning.
No, he got tied up and that was fine. We actually, you know, had, you know, Christian Fromhertz came in basically as the co-host and we had CC Legator too. So it worked out very well here. Aaron, it was a crazy night last night. We know you've been listening to the show, obviously watching the futures. One thing here is just, you know, before I just want to get your thoughts on all this because you haven't had a chance to, you know, chime in on everything that we saw last night with the whole Iran-Israel situation. So just give me your thoughts here on obviously, you know, World War III not materializing here this morning.
I'll be honest. I haven't seen really anything of it. So I guess like the reason I talked to Joel, the reason, so I got a second job, but not really because I need the money, but just kind of for fun. So bartending down the street from the office. And I told them the one thing I'm not supposed to do is like close on weekdays. But last night I got called in because someone called out and it was just me and my like manager. And the bar was packed and she was like, you can go if you need to. But I was like, no, I'm not going to do that to you. So I didn't end up getting out of there until 3 a.m. So that's why I was late.
That's what happened here this morning.
But that shouldn't be a problem in the future. But honestly, like I was so busy with that. Once I got home, I just, as soon as my head hit the pillow, I fell asleep. So
you were out.
I did not.
You look great though. You look great.
What happened?
So what happened, just to sum up, is we had crazy action at around, and again, if you're just tuning in, we'll just sum up this action because it was so insane. Around 7:45, futures started to sell off right before the 8 o'clock close. And then after 8 o'clock, we got news that Israel was indeed attacking Iran, and it went Twitter nuts. World War III on Twitter. That's what they thought. This is World War III. I heard them were, they were bombing nuclear centers. You heard every rumor you could. None of that, you know, some of it was obviously true, but, you know, a lot of it, you know, the worst worries here were not. So what happened during this whole crisis here last night is the S&P futures sold off 80 handles, 80, not 8, 80. We had stocks like NVIDIA trading down 33 points last night. USO was trading up $3 last night. Gold was ripping higher last night. They were just, you had, you know, like stocks like NOC trading up 13 points last night. Lockheed Martin, General Dynamics, all ripping higher last night. That all has come unwound and unwound quickly, because what we saw happen, you know, what we thought was going to turn into World War III, turns out that it wasn't that severe, the attacks Israel was putting on Iran. And Iran commentary coming out sounds like they're okay with it. It doesn't sound like there's going to be this imminent crazy response. They basically were saying they weren't even attacked. So we were trying to downplay it. Like, we thought the worst, that Iran's going to come out, because they had said, if Israel, I have this fly in this office and it's absolutely driving me nuts. I need, like, Mr. Miyagi, I need the chopsticks here.
We've but, only got stuff going on this morning.
There's a lot of stuff going on. But anyways, it sounds like the Iran response is going to be none at this point in time. At least that's the commentary I'm feeling. We don't know. Obviously, we don't know anything for certain. But it doesn't sound like there's this imminent response coming here. So World War III, temporarily put on hold. All those trades reversing now. And you have the S&P futures getting all of the 80-point losses back here. And now, you know, trading flat. So it looks like a nothing burger day when you come in here. Oh, just quiet option expiration. The futures are completely flat here right now. Nothing happening. No, it wasn't like that overnight. It was crazy.
Well, I'm glad it sounds like it's on pause, because I have two jobs now. I don't have time to get.
You don't need World War III.
I don't have time to get drafted right now, too.
there you go. That time, that's true.
But yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens today. It looks like I'm looking at the futures right now. Yeah, S&P 500, SPY futures are down 3 cents. So yeah, it looks pretty flat going in, which
nothing burger day.
I mean, a lot of times, like, I feel like Fridays, you know, we talk about them closing either on the highs or the lows of the week. But for options expiration, like, that's kind of a lot of times the max pain trade, right? If people are holding calls or puts, then all of a sudden it's completely flat and people are losing money, whether you're short or long the market. And so what about any individual stocks that were the biggest headlines of this morning, Dennis?
So we had, obviously, the Netflix. We didn't get to cover the Procter & Gamble earnings here yet, and it is trading down here. So I think if you want to, we could quickly cover PG.
Yeah, it's
we
got 9 a.m. right now, but let me go ahead and pull those numbers.
Yeah, Netflix down 43. The expected move was down 48. So Netflix down almost the entire expected move, which is even more impressive that the S&P is flat here right now, because you would think, other things being equal, no war, just with Netflix being down 7%, that it would drag down some of the tech stocks and drag down the S&P. That has not happened. Meta's trading up $4 here, bucking the trend. It's TikTok talk over there. Microsoft trading up here. You know, you've got some other tech stocks that are trading up. Very mixed market here right now. Sell imbalances across the board, though, so could weaken. But yeah, bring up those Procter & Gamble earnings.
Yeah, real quick. So Procter & Gamble reported EPS of $1.52, beat the $1.41 estimate. Sales came in at $20.19 billion, missed the $20.4 billion estimate. So it looks like they missed on the revenue or sales by about $200 million, but the EPS came in beat. Stock trading down a few percentage points. Let me go ahead and share my Benzinga Pro, even though we're about to wrap up the show. But Dennis, again, sorry again for having you scramble.
No, it's morning, good. But... And you know what? We were young, and obviously it's not like you're even out partying and having a good time. You're out working.
No, I know. Well, but again, that's not going to be the norm moving forward. It's just, this is a new place. It's been open for only a couple weeks.
You know what saved the show is that you've given me that power to produce. And yeah. I actually texted Joel. I was like, I don't even know how to bring this show live, but there's this live button right in the corner. Go live. Do I just press that, Joel?
That'll
like,
do
yeah,
it.
Just press go live. And then I pressed it and didn't do anything, but then you got to hit confirm go live. So okay. I'm like, okay. We're live. I don't know how to do the intro. I don't know how to show my charts. I don't know how to do a lot of anything. So we're going to have to teach me some more.
Well, hey.
It worked out okay.
I'm glad you guys had a good show. It looks like in the comments, the people enjoyed Christian Fromhertz and CC Legator. So shout out to those guys again for helping out as well. Dennis, Let's see what happens today. Hopefully hopefully no news is good news and World War III stays on pause for now. Cause like I said, I just don't have time for that right now.
No World War III.
All right, guys. Yeah. Well,
thanks, AB.
Yep. Thanks again for tuning in to pre-market prep. We will be back on Monday. Hopefully I'll be joining before 8:50 AM, but we will see. So, have a great weekend, guys. If we don't talk till then, stay green.